The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
How are you today, Jackie?
Very good, thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers that are listening.
Mother's Day to you, Jackie, to your mother.
To my mom, to Eileen.
To Eileen. To all of our friends out there.
And my sister and my sister-in-law. Happy Mother's Day. Okay. And Barbara, are you a mother?
I'm a mother, and I am as pleased as punch. I have just joined the ranks of grandmother.
Oh, wow. What an extra special Mother's Day for you.
Barb, I would like to wish my daughter-in-law the most happy Mother's Day. She's made my life complete.
Oh, beautiful. Barbara DeHaba, former president and active member of the Laurel Garden Club, is with us for a second week in a row. We're looking forward to talking to you today. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many relentless realtors. We've been advising, assisting, and guiding clients in real estate matters for 50 years.
50 years. Wow. During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners. You never know what you're going to see.
Yeah, you just want to check out the traffic and make sure there's no gridlock at Dunmore Corners.
Not on Mother's Day.
Okay. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. And, of course, you can look us up on social media. Also, we have our radio shows on podcasts, on most popular podcast apps. And so you can follow, subscribe. We can give our show a rating if you so choose. And if you want, you can go to jruddy.com and all the podcasts, apps that we are on are there, so for your listening pleasure. So,
right. So when you go searching for the podcast, it's Jackie Ruddy.
No, it's podcast. It's the Real Estate Roundtable with Jackie Ruddy, but the Real Estate Roundtable,
often imitated but never duplicated.
There you go. Right, we won't go there. Barbara DeHaba, former president and active member of the Laurel Garden Club. So today I was thinking that we should talk about vegetable gardens, and a lot of people want to do these vegetable gardens these days because we're at home and we want to grow our own food, and it sounds like a great idea. So what do you have to say about vegetable gardens, please?
Like the old-fashioned victory garden. People did that during the earlier days, World War II. We have a lot of things today that make that whole prospect easier. And what I would say is, if you have a plot already that had been growing vegetables, well, just use that one. Hopefully, you get enough sun. Sun is very important with vegetables. Get some bags of organic garden soil. Put it on top. Amend the soil. Vegetables need a lot of nutrients. And to make our job easier, they now have seed strips. Rather than trying to plant these individual tiny seeds, they already come on a strip. I've seen spinach like that, lettuce, radishes. Did I say red beets? There's quite a few that come in strips like that. I think even carrots, the ones with the really tiny seeds. So you just follow the directions on the strip, and you have less work later on thinning them out. It's hard to thin out these little seedlings. Tomato plants, of course, this time of the year, they're out in the nurseries already. What entices me and many are those big pots that already have either tomatoes on them or blossoms. So you're ahead of the game. So you have this pot, this great big pot, or you could even put in a larger pot, put it on your deck or your patio or in a sunny spot. You'll have tomatoes a lot earlier than the ones you plant in the ground, the little seedlings. But, you know, do both. You can just transfer the seedlings into the ground. And again, you've enriched your soil, so you have a lot going for you. When you first plant these seedlings from the pots, even cucumbers, or if you have beans or any small seedling, make sure that you water them in and pay attention to the moisture level until it actually roots well into the ground. You don't want to lose them. You don't want them to wilt and die. Once they're rooted, of course, moisture is still important, but not so much as at the beginning. And probably halfway through the growing season, it wouldn't be a bad thing to even fertilize them, again, with an organic fertilizer. I prefer using organic whenever I can.
All right, Barbara, let me ask you something. Is there any difference between the plants I would get at, say, like the giant superstore or from a local garden center? Is there a difference in the quality of the plants, or is everybody's plants the same?
Boy, you know, it's hard to answer that one way or the other. I know the Bonnie plants, they have them all over. I've seen them in my local Weiss store. I've seen them in different places. And supposedly they're non-GMO. They're a good quality plant.
What was that called? What was the name of it?
Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E.
Oh, yeah, I've used them. They're fertilizer. Yeah. I got that from Corky's Garden Center. I got it.
Okay. You know, it's good to give the local nursery your business for obvious reasons. You know, you keep the money locally. And that's not to say that you can't buy from the big box stores. I know that it's been said that some of what they use on their plants are not bee-friendly. I'm not sure if that applies to vegetables or not, but it's something to consider, and it might be something to look for before you go to buy your plants, because things change. You know, one of the box stores made a promise a few years ago that they were no longer going to use any of the toxins that are bad for bees. So that's something to consider.
Right. We like to support the local businesses, too. We just planted some apple trees, and we got them from Corky's. I've gotten them from Bud Schultz and Dunmore before.
Yes.
And, you know, the nice thing about dealing with the local is that if I have a question, I can go over and ask them. And now I will get somebody knowledgeable. It's not like they're going to call somebody over from plumbing to answer my garden question.
Yes. It's so frustrating. And another thing, too, with the big box stores is if you don't get the plants at the beginning, if you wait, they could be in shock because sometimes they don't get watered, and I'm sure you've noticed that. And, again, the nursery people, that's their own money that's involved, so they're going to take better care of those plants.
Well, everybody remarks about my hanging baskets and my arrangements outside of my office, and I always give the credit where credit is due, and we get them from Bud Schultz, and he does an amazing job. He does a special order for me. And so and when people see them growing in his greenhouses, they often say, oh, can I have that? Nope, they're for. And then they'll say my name, and then I get a phone call at my office from somebody I don't know and say, can I buy them? No, you can't. They're mine. But he does an amazing job.
He does. And Daryl works closely with our garden club, and we sell hanging begonias from him. They are magnificent. He gives us a really good deal.
I think those are his favorite. He loves to plant those for me.
Yes, they're just lovely. So, and then we do a mum sale through him as well.
Oh, nice. Good. Okay. Good stuff. And your garden club is very active. You're always looking for new members, and you have speakers, and you meet on Saturdays. And so when is your next meeting? from today. Today's May 8th.
Yeah, that was Saturday, May 15th. And they've been held at 10:30. We don't know the location, again, because things are ambivalent during these days.
Well, we can check out Facebook, right? You're on Facebook at the Laurel Garden Club, and you'll have that information for us there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, you know, we're talking about having gardens and vegetable gardens and potted plants, and I'm thinking of a very sunny spot on my patio where I could put a tomato plant, because we were planting them, and in the beginning, we found that we had these fabulous tomatoes, and then in later years, they weren't producing. So maybe we'll try a potted tomato plant this year on my patio. But if you have if people are surrounded by a fence or, you know, a vinyl fence, and they don't have much area to dirt or soil to plant things, is there something that they can do to fancy up their fence area?
Well,
something hanging?
Sure. I mean, you could have shepherd's hooks alongside the fence with hanging baskets. You can have vines growing up the fence, because most fences, if the vines won't cling, you could just run like a string or something up, or they have beautiful trellises. You could put some trellises along your fence. There's annual vines, just morning glories, and they grow very quickly, and so you'll have coverage probably by mid-season. Permanently, I really love clematis, and they have so many different varieties. There's one that will even bloom into the fall.
Nice.
They're lovely. There's different annual ones as well. I can't, but like sweet peas, they will grow. There's a perennial. It's kind of like a shrub. It is a lot of sara. What's the common name for that? It's fragrant. I can't remember the common name right now. Do you remember that, Bill? The lot of sara? It doesn't matter. But, I mean, there's, again, your local nursery can help you with these things. Growing vines is good. Some tall, maybe shrubs, you know, to hide some of that fence. Sort of like what I was saying before about starting a garden. You know, you can do it along the fence and have some taller, larger things that at least camouflage some of the fence.
There you go. That's the key. So you are a former city girl. You had a regular sized lot in the city of Scranton. Then you went out to the country to 4 acres. And so you're a transplant, no pun intended. And so, yeah, so you get there and you love to garden and you love the outdoors and you do a lot of nice things with your house and your grounds. What did you find out when you went into the country? Did you find out that you were having trouble keeping things around?
I sure did. I met Bill, my husband now, quite a few years ago. And when I visited his property up here, it was just a house in the middle of a field, more or less. I just had to start planting. But the plants disappeared. Now, he should have known why they were disappearing, but he kind of shrugged his shoulders. Well, we found out, of course, that there were deer eating up the beautiful rhododendrons that we had planted. So we decided if we were going to do anything seriously and have a garden, we needed to do something about it. Well, he was quite ambitious. I was thinking of perhaps enclosing a smaller area, but he had the idea of enclosing a lot more. So we went ahead and did that. He had a friend who helped him. First, it was the fencing. The deer fencing was strung along the trees, later to be replaced with posts and better quality deer fencing. So that's truly the only way you can be assured that you have things growing where there's deer country. Because to prove the point, this past winter, we had several break-ins. We looked outside to our dismay and saw deer at different times. And walking along the fence, we found out that a bear had broken in. Of course, because we knew a bear had come in our yard because he had left just little presents here and there. But along the way, the deer found the opening, and they came in the same way several times. So we had to make shift. There's a piece of plywood in one area, another break-in. There's a piece of vinyl lattice, tomato cages, just preventing these holes from allowing deer access. So we haven't seen any lately once we've put up these barriers, but we're going to have to replace the fencing this year with a good quality fencing, and we're not quite sure if we're going to put in posts or somehow to string that along the existing trees, perhaps with eye hooks or something that will give with the wind and the movement of the trees.
I like the way you say break-in. You make it sound criminal, like we should call the police. So
they are. They're
isn't there anything easier? Isn't there, like, aren't there pellets or something?
Yeah, like, can I, like, spray some stuff and keep them away? I see, like, deer off or whatever. No, none of that stuff. It's a bunch of junk.
Well, yeah, deer off and liquid fence. Our front is totally exposed to deer. And I blame myself, perhaps, because I'm not regular at spraying. But in between my spraying, we have had deer come up to our front door and eat things that I had in
my pocket.
So if you had one of those Ring doorbells, you'd see a deer face, like, looking in the camera or something?
I am seriously considering that, because if I know they're out there, okay, I can scare them away.
Uh-huh.
Maybe throw a pebble at them or something, you know?
Oh, boy.
You know when they're there.
But wherever you live, you have something to contend with, like rabbits, skunks, raccoons, squirrels. All of these things eat our vegetation.
Yes, they do. And we've had skunks, we've had raccoons, we've had rabbits, we've had chipmunks. Now, we've trapped some of the larger ones with the have-a-heart traps and taken them quite a distance away.
They let them go in Dunmore. Now they're in our yard.
You know what? We are.
I'm only kidding.
Where did you say you live?
Yeah, tell you. We're at a secret location.
Okay, Barbara Zahaba, former president and active member of the Laurel Garden Club. Anybody can do a search for you, find your information. You're on Facebook, and we're going to head towards a break. Before we go, Pat, would you like to review the listing, please?
We have a tree unit. It's at 307 Clarkson Street in Jessup for $159,000. This is perfect for the investor with ideas. The first floor was formerly a restaurant for 60 years, and much of the restaurant equipment is included in the sale. This building has got many updates, including a new roof. The building has two partially finished one-bedroom apartments on the second floor. The property is currently zoned R2, and you would need approval from the Jessup Zoning Board to be used as a restaurant again. That's a three-unit building at 307 Clarkson Street in Jessup for $159,000, and that's listed by Tom Pavlosky of our office.
Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM. We'll be back after a very brief break.
The talented team of professionals at Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. They're not just real estate agents. They're agents of change. They're on a never-ending quest for the best for you and your family. They can help you find exactly, precisely what you want at this time in your life. A computer, a website, an app, and a listing by itself can't do that. They're obsessed with better and deliver extraordinary, embracing the what if, not just the what's been done before, with a level of accountability and honesty not found anywhere else in the real estate industry. Don't settle for average, okay, or just all right. This change in your life is monumental. And there's only one Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate that will help you rock that change. Call 570-344-6724 and visit jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, and Barbara, Dahaba, former president and active member of the Laurel Garden Club. Thanks for being with us for 2 weeks in a row, Barbara. We're enjoying our discussion with you.
You're welcome. You know, I can go on and on about gardening.
I think I get that. I think we could talk about this all day, and I'd love to. We only have a couple more minutes for the show, though. But I, the first half of the show, we talked about the importance of a fence, and I think that'd keep your deer away and anything that we have down in the city, like rabbits and squirrels and chipmunks and skunks and all those things that like to eat our vegetation. So a fence is the most recommended, right? That's the best way to keep these critters out?
Well, the big ones, yes. The little ones, you'd have to have a fence that would keep them out as well. So, you know, the fence would be a little different than just keeping deer out. But yeah, sure, it's the best way.
All right. So what about weeds? Because I think no matter where we live, country, city, we all have to deal with weeds, and they're not fun. How do you get rid
Jackie,
of them?
You were pulling weeds yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
I see them, and I
and
just go
the
right after them. Yeah.
And she was still out there, and yeah, Jackie hates weeds.
I don't like them, no.
Everybody hates weeds.
It's sort of like Mondays. Nobody likes Mondays, right?
Oh, I don't mind. I'm retired.
Okay, all right.
We won't have to go there. I have been noticing, we've had a snow cover for, not now, of course, but it was just an extended snow cover. But whenever that snow melted and showed some of the ground, I saw a weed. Of course, there's two weeds. I'll mention the names because you might want to check them out on the web. One is garlic mustard. It's extremely invasive, and it can grow as tall as 4 or 5 feet. I once did an invasive weed tour with a master gardener, and we came across this entire area that was just filled with the garlic mustard. You really have to get rid of them. They would take over, I think they would take over northeastern Pennsylvania. But they start out very small, as all weeds do, as all plants do. So if you see them, I don't even know how to describe it. That's why I'm telling you what they are. You could kind of look them up to get an idea of what they look like. And the other one that I have here, it's hairy bittercress. And that it's a pretty-looking weed, like a rosette with a little tiny white flower. And that's like the first year. But after that, they get bigger, they get taller. But nonetheless, what I do when they're small, especially, is I use a natural weed killer, which it works. A gallon of white vinegar, a cup of salt. I use Epsom salts and a tablespoon of liquid dish soap. The soap is good because that allows it to cling to the weed. And I recycle spray bottles. You could buy them if you don't have any, but so many products come in spray bottles, so you could just rinse them well and reuse them. So if you're out in the yard, have your little spray bottle and spray away.
Very good. Okay, that sounds like a good idea. And it's all stuff we have in our closet, so I don't have to go out of my way and never get to it because I never remember. Okay, good. Right, so
to prevent the weeds, as I mentioned earlier when I talked about making a bed, use mulch. It's not to say the weeds will grow in the mulch, but
yes, they do.
Enough, you just pull them out and they come out very easily. And they do prevent at least some seed germination.
Excuse me, the weed barriers are no good.
Well, some people might have success with them. I have not, and I just found them to be, later on, just made my job harder.
Trouble.
Just keep mulching, adding more mulch every year, okay? Mm-hmm. Pull the weeds, spray the weeds. And Perina's an excellent article, an excellent product to use. I don't know if you've used that or not. It's pre-emergent.
No.
I have so much here. It's a large property. And while pulling is the best, Preen is a pre-emergent. So what you can do is when you put your mulch down, moisten the mulch, put down the preen, and you could even moisten it again, and that prevents the weeds from germinating.
Uh-huh. I knew you'd have an answer for us.
That might not be the truly organic way to do it. And again, I didn't have to use preen when I had a city lot. I was out there pulling and spraying, and I was effective. But I just have such a large property here that it helps me.
Okay, good. Barbara, what should we do with our lawns at this time of year? Is there anything we should be doing?
Well, my lawn took a beating this year. We had early snow and lots of it. And normally, my husband goes around with a lawn tractor, not mowing the lawn, but breaking up the leaves and sucking them up. And he wasn't able to do that well into the season. So I had a lot of lawn damage. So I did a lot of raking. And once I raked, I threw down some pelletized lime because it changes the pH. With all the leaves here, the lawn tends to get acidic. So the pH sweetens it up for any fertilizer applied after that to work. When I was out in my front yard yesterday, I raked up dead grass, leaves, and what else? Oh, spruce leaves. We have spruce trees. And you know the needles?
Mm-hmm.
They can actually make a mulch. So I raked up a whole barrel full of that. So that was my start, and I put down the pelletized lime, and then in a week or so or a few days, I'm going to put down my fertilizer.
Okay. Very good. And then during now taking us through the spring and the summer and the regular maintenance, what do you do with the lawn?
Well, I do apply a fertilizer. I do use a weed and feed, sometimes a name brand, sometimes not. We started out here with just a pasture, and there was no bluegrass, fescue. It was just what was here, and it was mowed over time. And so it looks pretty good when it fills in and it's green, but it's not good grass. So I use the weed and feed, and at least it helps strengthen the grass and increase the grass ratio to weeds. So that's what I do.
Good stuff. Pat, what do you do?
Yeah, we have a four-step process. You know, I get it from Corky's. It's Bonnie, and I used it. The first step you had to use earlier. That time has passed. And then there's a two-step. You know, it's one for the bugs, and then another one in August, and then there's another one in the fall. And it tends to keep the lawn looking pretty good. You know, but what Barbara was saying about the I didn't realize that when you crush up the leaves, it turns the soil acidic. So I guess we're going to try some lime, too, and see how that works out. It won't hurt it, right?
No, it won't hurt it. No, it won't hurt it. But again, see, I'm here in the woods, so to speak. I'm surrounded by trees. So we've had such windy weather earlier in the spring that they just blew all over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was everywhere.
You know, windy day, and there still be leaves out there. I'm not going to go and pick up an individual leaf, but over the winter,
I know somebody who does run around chasing all the individual leaves.
Yeah, they drive me crazy.
They drive somebody crazy. I won't mention any names. I'm not going to mention any names.
My mom was like that in her day.
Barbara DeHaba, former president and active member of the Laurel Garden Club. We so appreciate the time you spent with us the last 2 weeks. Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day. And Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have 2 acres of beautiful lakefront property. It's at Lot 14, Prince Edward Drive in Gouldsboro. It's in Covington Lake Estates. It's $159,000. There's very few lakefront lots left in the Poconos, and this one is right off Route 435. It's very close to I-380. This two-acre lot, it's got 512 feet of road frontage and approximately 200 feet of lake frontage. In order to keep the lake clean and quiet, they only allow electric trolling motors for the boats on the lake. That's a two-acre lakefront lot at 14 Prince Edward Drive in Gouldsboro in Covington Lake Estates for $159,000. and that's listed by Connie Seagraves of our office.
Happy Mother's Day to all mothers who are listening, and remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate, and 94.3 The Talker.